was a mighty
back on
nation.
The air. Welcome, my friend. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Remember me? I'm the guy that used to be on this slot. Mike took over and was nice enough to let me take back over tonight and sit in and shit while he's out doing some other things, and so we appreciate this. Get the word out there. We have Laurie Anderson with us tonight, Gary Blackwell, Dave Pruitt. We had John Lamb earlier, and we have good news today. Six defendants were found not guilty by 10 out of the 12 jurors, but since there were two holdouts, there was a deadlocked jury and a mistrial. Good enough victory, at least for now, although the government's going to be stupid enough to bring them back to trial. Hey, we'll be there again with our message of jury nullification. I haven't shut up or calmed down or gone anywhere. I want to thank the Hagman Report for having me on. Did another appearance there, and they were nice enough to offer to have me back on every 4 to 6 weeks or something like that. So look for Eric's presence over at the Hagman Report. Mike Herzog here is going to have me sit in once in a while when he's busy. Going to also find me on Susan Lindauer. I did 2 hours with her. And P.J. Barton, I have not forgot about you, buddy, but early in the morning on Saturday hasn't been good lately, and because I'm having to do some construction work till late, long hours. So I will be back with P.J. Barton on Saturday mornings, and he's a great guy, so I miss doing his show. But I think he wants me to be a weekly, you know, update, and so I'm going to get back with him. So, P.J., if you're listening, I haven't forgot about you, buddy. I'm going to shoot for this Saturday. How's that? All right. So good news. We got six of the defendants found in a deadlock jury mistrial. One of them found guilty, but of minor things like email and postings, something to do with his postings or emails, and that's about as minor as you can get. It doesn't look like he's going to be facing any jail. And the one person that went down was the FBI informant, and it sounds to me like that jury was pretty hip. They knew who the scumbags were. They said, you know what? We're going to let these guys who didn't hurt anybody walk, and we're going to send the scumbag informant, the confidential informant for the Federal Bureau of Idiots, he could go to jail. And hopefully the rest of all his comrades and counterparts in the Federal Bureau of Idiots and the Department of Homeland Gestapo and all the other associated scumbags who think they're going to control our life, playing like giant little boys running around with all their military garb, and all these fancy dark sunglasses and big helmets and automatic rifles with their fingers pointed forward and perfect little army man form. It's retarded. They need to join the Patriot Movement and start arresting enemies domestic, period. Let me get back to what I was saying before.
His name is Greg Burleson, Eric. His name was Greg Burleson. And let's remember, he wasn't just an informant. He was an instigator. He was what in the old days they would call COINTELPRO. He was one that went in to instigate, to try to make the people who were there protesting legitimately look like they were crazy people, to make them look like they were violent people. He tried to instigate people into being violent. So let's make sure that everybody understands he's not just a quote-unquote informant or quote-unquote snitch. He was an instigator. He was a paid instigator. And he had been working with the FBI since 2012, well before the Bundy Ranch had ever started. And that was accidentally exposed during the trials. What I'm curious about, Eric and David and Gary, this is what I'm really curious about. And I want the listeners, if you feel it on your heart to do this, because this trial has really... this judge in this trial, she's really trampled on everybody's unalienable rights, whether it be the fair trial, whether it be jury of your peers, whether it be to be able to confront witnesses against you, like Daniel Love. Where are you at, Mr. Love? Oh, that's right, because a report came out of your misconduct in another situation, so they didn't want to put you on the stand because it would have proven that people whom you worked with inside the BLM were afraid of you, as well as the corrupt person that you are, as well as you have no problem lying to cover your own rear end. So they did not want this man on the stand who just so happened to be the quote-unquote person in charge of what happened in Bunkerville on the standoff. He is the one who was in charge. He is the one who went before a grand jury and said all this stuff, and none of the defendants got to put him on the stand and confront the witnesses, which we covered is under the Sixth Amendment, as well as many other cases. But here is my question, and anybody who is interested, because this is about all of us. When a judge is allowed to get by with these egregious situations, then it affects every one of us, especially a federal judge. On the Department of Justice website, you can look it up, 18 U.S. Code 242. I want to read to you something. This is deprivation of rights under color of law. Section 242 of Title 18 makes it a crime for a person acting under color of any law to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. For the purpose of Section 242, acts under, quote, color of law, unquote, include acts not only done by federal, state, or local officials within their lawful authority, but also acts done beyond the bounds of that official's lawful authority. If the acts are done while the official is purporting or pretending to act in the performance of his or her official duties, persons acting under color of law within the meaning of this statute include police officers, prison guards, and other law enforcement officials, as well as judges, care providers in public health facilities, and others who are acting as public officials. It is not necessary that the crime be motivated by animus towards the race, color, religion, sex, handicap, familial status, or national origin of the victim. The offense is punishable by a range of imprisonment up to a life term or death penalty, depending upon the circumstances of the crime and the resulting injury, if any. So here is the question. The phone number for the Civil Rights Division, we allegedly have this new changing of hands in Washington, D.C. I would ask that as many people as possible get on this website. Go, I'm getting ready to give you the phone numbers, and complaints start flooding in about Judge Navarro violating and complaints under Section 242, 18 U.S. Code 242. Now, on the website, it still has Tom Wheeler as Acting Assistant Attorney General, or you can ask for Jeff Sessions. Civil Rights Division is 202-514-4609. Let me give that number again. 202-514-4609. And telephone device for the deaf is 202-514-0716, or you can even go to that website and you can report a violation via the website. Now, this is the exact wording of the statute. Whoever under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. And if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire shall be fined under this title or in prison not more than 10 years or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life or both, or may be sentenced to death.
Okay, let me add something here. An even more effective way to end her career is flood the judicial oversight committee and review board in Nevada and the bar with complaints against her, formal complaints. You can probably get them right online and download them and fill out the complaint form and fill it in. Then also, she's going to have to be, I know Nevada for sure, it's Nevada NRS 282, if I'm not mistaken, requires that every public officer have an oath and a bond filed, and almost all the higher judges have bonds that they've taken out, and if you can find out who their bonding agent is, their surety, you file a complaint with their insurance holder, and if they get enough complaints, the insurance bonding agent will dump that judge, and she'll never be able to get a job anywhere, not doing what she's doing, not in government. So those are two things. Find her surety, her bonding agent. Under NRS 282, she's going to have a bond. File a complaint with an insurance company that's holding her bond, and file complaints with the bar and the Judicial Review Board in Nevada, or whatever they call it, the Judicial Review Commission or the Judicial Oversight Board, whatever garbage series of names. Use your imagination. I don't know what they call it in Nevada. But, you know, hey, find it if you care about ending this woman's career. And I'm telling you, this isn't just going on in Nevada. It's going on in every state in the union. A little less in some, a little more in others. But this is going to come for everybody. And so I urge people to remember that society cannot be a victim. Who was injured by any one of these people who were up on trial in the witches' court of Nevada? No one. This is why it's important. If this is why I want to go back to the constructive possession thing. The attorneys are making up words. They're making up words like constructive. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, people keep forgetting this, too. None of this mass of protesters came out there until after there was approximately 200 BLM agents armed to the teeth like they were a military force, with drones, with MRAPs, with semi-automatics and automatics pointed toward
people. They're instigators. They're instigators. They're agent provocateurs is what it's called. If you want to look it up online, it's called agent provocateur, P-R-O-V-A-C-A-T-E-U-R. And go online and look at the agent provocateurs at the GA protest in Montreal. That one's really interesting. The guys with the masks and the bricks, they were wearing the same boots with the little yellow tag on the bottom that the police are issued. And they were the only guys with the masks, real big guys, muscle bound. They looked like cops, and they were the only guys with their faces hidden. And the young protesters, the real protesters, are coming over saying, take off the mask, take off the mask. You can be assured whenever they're wearing a mask and they have bricks in their hands, those are the cops, because the only people that have anything to gain from violence at protests is the government. And that's why all these confidential informants, like Lori was saying before, COINTELPRO, they're called agent provocateurs. They usually work for the intelligence agencies or the intelligence units in whatever idiotic three-letter agency or associated counterparts at the local and state level. This is why it's so important we remember we don't have law enforcement in a free republic. We have peace officers only. Unfortunately for the witches and the Nazis, there's no money to be made just doing peace officering, because they'd have to sit at the donut shop most of the time and wait for a real call with a real victim when a real crime. Well, under the admiralty law we have now, they can sit on the road and just wait for people to drive by and pull them over and steal their stuff, call it asset forfeiture and seizure. And, of course, the court's going to back up the police just about every time, from my experience in New York, because it's extra corrupt here. But so, once again, the attorneys are making up lies called constructive possession. Constructive possession doesn't exist. Constructive possession is a lie made up by the bar that you can be near something and be in possession of it. That's why I keep going back to Tom's case, the host of this broadcast originally. He's sitting around for a victimless allegation. Society cannot be a victim. There's no such thing as constructive possession. Even if the gun in his was in his hand, they wouldn't have a case if he wasn't using it or threatening anybody with it. I mean, everybody's supposed to be armed in this republic, are they not? This country was founded on guns. It was founded by guns. It was founded on people by people with guns. It was all about guns and used responsibly. They're the greatest thing. And unfortunately, the entities that are using them irresponsibly and with malice and with terror is the government. And if I got to hear another broadcaster use the word terrorism, terrorist, terrorist, terrorized, terror, I mean, I'm listening to other broadcasters. I think I heard Paul Watson on InfoWars use the word terror, terrorist, or terrorism every 3 seconds for like 30 minutes. My head was spinning. Nobody ever told the guy the word was strictly only created for and to define actions by the government. It's nothing an individual can do. It's a state of mind. I can't terrorize anybody. You're on your own. If you feel terrorized, that's you. You can't do terror. You can do a shooting. You can do an assault. It's done by the government to create
through conflict and through acts of aggression to create political change.
It's only for government. The word only applies to government. It only applies to government. It doesn't apply to Muslims. It doesn't apply to Christians. It doesn't apply to patriots. It doesn't apply to people. It doesn't apply to individuals. The original derivation of the word is from the Reign of Terror by Robespierre, who took over after King Louis and his harlot got their heads chopped off, and what basically replaced them was just as bad, if not worse. It was called the Reign of Terror. And that's a word that's only to describe what government does. Amazing how many fools have all of a sudden think a person could be a terrorist and this group is terrorizing people. Why is people so criticizing Trump for using the word terrorist? Well, they should. He's a stupid idiot. He doesn't realize it's only a word to describe what the government, and the government's doing it perfectly. Terrorism is a state of mind. Terrorism is an idea. It's another fictitious entity. I can hear all my old listeners saying, yup, another fictitious entity. Right, it doesn't exist. You can commit a shooting, you can commit a stabbing, you can commit assault, you can commit assault and battery. But you can't commit terror and you can't be a terrorist. It's only something somebody else can feel. It's a feeling, it's an emotion, it's intangible. You can't apply it to a person, you can't apply it to an action. You can only apply it to some idiotic idea in some scared person's head. Okay, so now that I've got that out there, society can't be a victim. We're a republic, not a democracy. Don't buy into this crap about law enforcement. There's no law enforcement in a free republic, only peace officers. As soon as you get away from peace officering, you wind up with the garbage that we're living in right now. So, peace officer, guess what and when you look up the definition of sheriff, what does it say? Look it up on LegalDictionary.com, even in their own witches' dialogue. They even concede sheriff, the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision. That's it. It doesn't say the chief law enforcement officer, and we need more LEOs, and we got to give more money to law enforcement. That's a military thing. Anybody pimping that is working for the enemy. Unless they're just, you know, mistaken, and then if, you know, your average person out there, they get so brainwashed, they don't realize the difference between peace officer and law enforcement. Educate them nicely. But anybody in the broadcast media, anybody in the government, anybody who's coming forward, they know exactly what they're talking about, and they're a liar. So, and you know who the liars work for and who the king liar is, the devil himself. So the terror is only something a government can do. It is never anything a group or a single person can do. That's BS, it's baloney, and it's AIPAC and the Mossad, the CIA and MI6 brainwashing people through the corporate whore media, who many supposed alternative media operations have apparently joined forces with, or sold out to, or just buckled and caved, or are just really stupid. But once again, I'll say it, nowhere in the Beatitudes does it say blessed are the stupid. So anybody want to chime in? Gary, Dave, Lori? Gary and Dave, you've been quiet for a while. Let's give a few minutes to you guys. What's happening? What's your take on all this?
Well, this is Gary Don.
Yeah, Gary, chime in, man.
Yeah, I just was going back a little bit. You know, this, when I was speaking a little bit to you ago, we talked about a remedy for our problems. And one of the remedies is, as you brought up a little bit earlier, is to bring our Father the Creator back as King of Israel again. And I think that's the remedy. And when it's all started, our people start clamoring for a king back in the days of Samuel. And Samuel went to the father and he asked him, he said, well, you know, what am I to do? He said, well, they're not rejecting you, Samuel, they're rejecting me. He said, you go ahead and make them a king, make them an earthly king. And so they did. And this is just basically, I'll just quick. This is the result of the kingship that our people clamored for. And it's been said that many times that that the Kennedys could have been king and queen in this country. And for some reason, our people reject the real king, and they want an earthly king. But we do know in Revelations, when our Father comes back, if we haven't solved the problem by then, He will solve that problem in verse 19, or chapter 19, where He says, upon His vesture will be, and on His thigh will be that which says King of Kings. It also says the Lord of Lords, but it means King of Kings. So the King will return and be King of us again. Well, we would have to put up with these earthly kingships where they take our young people off to wars and all these drastic things and come up with these word games that you so aptly brought forward. I appreciate that so much. It's a great help to hear you young folks and Dave Pewitt out here and Miss Anderson, Laurie Anderson. It's a great thing for me to hear as I grow older that the youth is coming up to support the Patriot movement again. So I thank you again for your wisdom and your young wisdom and your efforts of bringing this country back to the kingdom it should be. I yield.
Oh, thank you. Nice of you to say so, Lori. Doesn't it feel good being called young? I appreciate
yes,
that, Gary.
I love that. I do.
But yeah,
love that.
No, we appreciate that. We're definitely picking up the baton and running with it. And doing whatever we can. And, you know, we're about activism here. We're not really about, we do reporting. Lori, we're a good kind of a combo because she's a good, you know, she's kind of the report. We're both reporters and activists. Lori is kind of a better reporter than I am. And I'm heavy on the activism and the real getting out there. And so we both, I think, complement each other well on this. But we both do both. I mean, Lori's been in the courts like I have, and I've done some broadcasting and writing like she has. But with this, it's kind of like going into the witch's court. You have to have paperwork filed to get it on record and file it as best you can. If you want to look into the judicial procedures in your district and, you know, kind of do it their way, or you can do a common law document in kind of the old school way. So that's necessary. And at the same time, activism. You got to have the couple of hundred phone calls and a couple of dozen people, or at least a few people, a handful, half a dozen is still a great number. If you can go into court with five or six, seven people, that makes a big statement. And the courts, they notice that. And they tend to try to get away with all this garbage a lot less when they see that the light of is being shed. The public eye is watching what they're doing. So that's why we call ourselves Courtroom Watch. And so we urge you to go to courtroomwatch.com and download the jury nullification flyer and pass those suckers out everywhere you can. The neck that it saves may be your own, because anybody and everybody can get dragged into the witch's court for the most absurd nothings. Do I even have to tell anybody listening to this show? I can't believe anybody's listening to this right now who's naive enough and who's kind of a newbie enough to think the courts do righteous and just work, and they only try to do the right thing, and they're just trying to lock up bad people and blah, blah, blah. I mean, please, I can't believe there's anybody out there that childlike and delusional. You know, so it's obvious what's going on, but we're about activism, reporting and activism, and so download the jury nullification flyer and get active and start passing those out. If you haven't done it yet, make a plan to do it. You got to do something for freedom every day, or you're not going to be free. I mean, I hate to tell people like what they have to do, but I mean, if you want to be a slave, I guess great. Just do nothing and pretend that Armageddon is just around the corner, and you know, stay inactive, and that's just kind of stupid. And really need that, desperately need the members of your community who are going to be in that jury pool to know about their duty for jury nullification and set you free if they don't like the law. The law sucks. You're not guilty. What are you guilty of? There's no such thing as perfect law. I mean, the judge in this case really ought to go to prison for the rest of her life. The things, the atrocities she's committed against people are innumerable and ungodly. I mean, I can't believe a woman would do these things. I would think they'd be more caring and more, you know, think they, you know, maybe have the more tender touch and be more compassionate and all this stuff. What an absolute harlot and a witch. And I'm not being cruel and mean. This is, I'm being polite and nice. I should use a lot harsher words, but John Stadtmiller wouldn't be too pleased with that. But to call her the witch's court, believe me, I'm being generous. And I mean, everything. 7 weeks, 100 witnesses for the out-of-control criminal government. Couple of days and two or three people for the defense, all of the witnesses shot down because the judge was afraid they were going to use the word jury nullification. Well, too bad, Mrs. Harlot. They're going to use the word jury nullification because the people are the final arbiter in this country, not some idiotic witch named Navarro, who God knows what her control file looks like. Who knows?
Well,
I don't even want to speculate.
Eric, I want to chime in real quick, and then we have a caller on the line. And we'll get right with you, Rodney, in just 1 second. You can go to the State Bar of Nevada to file a complaint against Judge Navarro. And that's www.nvbar.org. And then you will click in there, and you can see where it has where you can file a complaint, ethics and discipline, and member services over there. In order to file a complaint, you need your contact information, the attorney that you're talking about, which would be the judge, previous contacts with the State Bar of Nevada, if you had any, hiring the attorney, if you had any, witnesses, a witness list of names and contact information of witnesses who have direct knowledge of the allegations. Well, pretty much anybody and everybody that's in the court, including bar attorneys who we heard earlier speaking out about it.
Here's how I want to involve everybody. You can write from anywhere in this country and say, I, John Smith, Eric Hughes Jones, was denied the right to a public trial in this matter based on Fordyce versus the City of Seattle, 9th Circuit, and Smith versus the City of Cumming, 11th Circuit, both which affirm the First Amendment protects the right of the public to video matters of public interest on public property. Her own circuit court decided that the cameras are allowed, and the judge still denied. So everybody in this country who was not able to see a video of the courtroom proceedings is victimized by the failure to have a public trial. There's your grounds for a complaint against Judge Anna Navarro. And we'll be back
after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcast.
Go ahead, Laura. You take us out because I can't hear the music or nothing.
Website.
Okay. We'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors. Please hang in there, Rodney. We'll be right with you.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles? Improved vision? Improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Well, I walk back down. No, welcome back, my good friends. Welcome back, my friends and fellow Freedom Screamers. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Lori Anderson and Gary Blackwell. And Dave's still with us. Chime in anytime, Dave. We're just chewing it up and trying to get the word out there, hoping there's some new listeners that have not heard us in the past. And hopefully some of our old listeners are still with us. And if new people have joined in with Mike Herzog and the American Awakening, this is Eric the Freedom Screamer, and I'm glad to be with you all tonight. We're trying to educate people, let them know some concepts that will help them out if they have to go into the courts, challenge the fact that society can be a victim, have to stand on common law grounds. No victim, no crime. There's no law enforcement.
You have to be able to face your accuser.
Face your accuser, absolutely. There's no law enforcement in a free republic. Only peace officers, legaldictionary.com, sheriff, peace, the chief peace officer, in a county or subdivision that says the sheriff is the chief peace officer. Doesn't say the FBI guy with the blue coat that says Federal Bureau of Idiots on it, or agent X with a black suit and sunglasses. It doesn't say the state trooper is higher than the sheriff. The sheriff is the chief peace officer. Yeah, remember that. And always, and that's why it's so important. Well, what does that have to do with anything? A lot. You want to get into a county and get yourself a decent common law sheriff elected. Constitutional sheriff, you're usually not hardcore enough toward freedom. They'll still come out and seize your property under a tax foreclosure, which they should not be doing if they're a constitutional sheriff. They'll still come arrest people for drug possessions. I mean, Sheriff Mack, the constitutional sheriff, was a narcotics officer all his life. I haven't heard him repent or apologize or say the drug war is bad ever. He made his living off this unlawful prohibition that we have warring on our own people. It's absurd. So I want to see common law sheriff. Let's have the hardcore sheriff who's going to respect private property rights. Go ahead.
I wanted to finish with letting everybody know for the Nevada State Bar to file a complaint against Judge Navarro for you not being able to get the public viewing of that trial. Is you can also write your complaint. You can find that at www.nvbar.org. You can also write your complaint to State Bar of Nevada Office of Bar Counsel, 3100 West Charleston Boulevard, Suite 100, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89102. Or you can email at complaints@nvbar.org. And Eric, I wanted to remind you, we have a caller on the line. Do you want to go ahead and take the caller?
Go for it.
Hi, Rodney. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate the effort of all of you people.
I wanted to
just share the value of activism from a personal experience and then comment a little more specifically about Tom's case.
Wonderful.
Back in the day, Aaron Russo put out a very excellent documentary on the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, and I'm not sure who, but made copies of that DVD available for 44 cents apiece. Believe it or not. I acquired 3,000 copies.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave them out left and right. I gave them out in Ron Paul, I organized parades for Ron Paul. I handed them out left and right. One of those copies ended up in the hands of a woman who was the wife of a local rural doctor. They were true blue and straight lace Lutherans.
Mm-hmm.
She got back to me with a story. She said she was called to jury duty on an income tax case. She was prepared to hang that jury
mm-hmm.
because of the information that she learned
mm-hmm.
on that DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the defendant plea bargained before it went to a jury.
Mm-hmm.
But she was going to hang that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
a lot of people don't know this, and this is pertaining to what you're talking about. If they would read the Grace Report, which was an independent investigation done during Ronald Reagan's era, they would fight that because they would realize that not one dime of the taxes that they pay goes to funding any program. It does not. It goes to the bankers. Then the bankers, then of course Congress makes those laws saying they need more of these billions of dollars. They take it to the Fed. The Fed loans us our own money back. So they've already taken it once, and then they're going to loan us our own money back, and then we have to pay that back as well. It is a huge scam. Exactly.
And I'm sure you're probably familiar with the his last name is Burian. His forte is the comprehensive annual financial reports. And he will say that, and I think conclusively proves, the government, if you combine all of their revenue, two-thirds of it comes from investments.
Mm-hmm.
And that taxes for revenue purposes is obsolete. So taxes are merely social control.
Yep.
And
control mechanism.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just follow the money. And dig deep and look at their accounting statements. But anyhow, more specific to Tom's case, I called in once before,
mm-hmm.
encouraging some research into a writ of mandamus. And it's all about objections. You know,
mm-hmm.
if Tom, public defender, of course, is not going to do this. But objections are so important, and they have to be timely. Those are appealable. But objections that are uttered, that are unspoken, unwritten, can never be brought up again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody needs to be documenting every single violation of Tom's rights in writing and published on a court record of in some form or fashion. Now, I totally understand that the witches' court are populated with witches, but the witch on the next rung of the ladder up higher does not necessarily feel like he needs to jeopardize his own career for the misconduct of someone below him. And you have to utilize and exploit that fact that the appellate court, you know, judges higher are not going to cover their ass.
Mm-hmm.
If you can thoroughly document their crimes and misdemeanors, and the upper courts are not going to just roll over and cover their ass for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't emphasize enough that the miscarriage of justice, the denial of rights, has to be documented and put onto the record in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I think we're going to do a habeas corpus blitz for Tom. I don't give a crap what his attorney likes or doesn't like. We're just going to do it. And if Tom has a problem, we'll get the word. But it needs to be done. And nobody has to get anybody's permission. He may be being threatened that, you know, to say something or do something. I recommend everybody send in a habeas corpus on Tom's behalf. It's a totally lawful thing to do. We've done it before in the past. The only reason I didn't do it now, because Lori was kind of like, well, not yet, and I don't know about the attorney and this and that. You know what? Too bad. She's not answering the phone. I can't get a hold of her. We're going to do it. And so I'm going to post on courtroomwatch.com sometime, hopefully in the next few days or early next week, a habeas corpus that people can download in a PDF file. It'll be real simple. It's a one-page common law document, but it's got penalty in it. And it says, failure to honor this habeas corpus within 5 days of its tender is trespass. Trespass requires remedy. $1 per second for trespass duration. Failure to release Tom is, by acquiescence, evidence that Tom is injured by loss of rights and interference by corporate government agents operating under color of law and exceeding their jurisdiction. And it's real simple. Too much stuff gives them loopholes and traps for us. That's what all it's about. Loopholes for them. Traps for us. So don't go on with 20 pages into the witch's court. Go ahead.
Yeah, but also, Eric, the writ of mandamus, okay, is a writ order that's issued from a court of a superior jurisdiction that commands an inferior tribunal, corporation, municipal corporation, or an individual to perform.
I like the idea. Okay, I know.
Thank you very much for having me.
I heard the part about mandamus, and I know, and I like the idea, but here's the thing. The witch's court's not going to recognize that. They're not going to see that. They're going to intentionally blind themselves to it. And they're liars and pieces of crap, I know. It's a sleazy, slutty maneuver, but that's what they're going to do.
Like Michael Rivera always says.
Well, they do the same with the habeas.
You could do it. There's another thing called the writ of prohibition. But under their procedural garbage, it can only come, like Lori said, from a higher court. They certainly don't. The witch's court doesn't look at you and me and Lori as since a higher court. We are. Because we're supposed to be the ultimate at the top of the pyramid, and everything else government is supposed to serve us. Of course, that's gotten flipped upside down. But I'm telling you right now, they're not going to see you as a higher court and think that's an unlawful mandamus. They're just going to say, oh, filed by individual. Are they a bar member? No. Oh, that's really garbage then. If it comes from the higher witch's court, okay, great. If you can put the heat on
that. No, but Tom can file it on his own behalf is what it's saying. And what it does... And I understand what Rodney is saying, because what it does is it makes the court of a superior jurisdiction commands the lower court, which is what Tom would be going before, to refrain from performing a particular act, and the performance or omission of which is required by law is an obligation. The writ is an or the order of mandamus is extraordinary court order because it is made without the benefit of a full judicial process. I'm reading right this second, everyone.
It's worth a shot. If you can get a higher witch's court to issue a writ of mandamus, great. They might honor it. But when it's coming from an individual like you or me, or even Tom on his own behalf, you know, I think it's better off with the habeas corpus, but try both. I'm not against anything. Use all the tools in the box. You know, go for it. But I'm just preparing people.
Yeah, because what this is saying is on the federal level, for example, 28 U.S. Code 1291 provides that the appellate review of lower court decisions should be postponed until after final judgment has been made in the lower court. But a writ of mandamus offers one exception to the rule. If a party to a case is dissatisfied with some decision of the trial court, the party may appeal the decision to the higher court with a petition for a writ of mandamus before the trial proceeds. The order will be issued only in exceptional circumstances. So,
you have to understand what are appealable issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those are objections.
Mm-hmm.
Object 1,000 times. Let them overrule you 1,000 times. But those are 1,000 appealable issues.
That's right.
And they're on
right
the record.
If you get sucked into the witch's court and the judge said something that you don't agree with, you don't like, I object. For the record, I object to that. Objection, for the record. On the record, I object.
If Tom's in the courtroom, I would encourage him to stand up with respect and object on his own accord, contrary to whatever public defender he may have, because that will be a recorded objection from a defendant.
Yes, sir, you have to object. That's right. You're right.
Yeah, because if you remain silent, it is considered as agreed to.
That is correct. And thank you, Lori. You've done some research that I encouraged you to do, and I thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling in, Rodney.
Well, beyond that, you guys carry on and keep up the good fight. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Not a problem. Thank you for being with us, Rodney. We appreciate you. We always have. And
That's a great story there about his wife that getting the jury nullification message got through to Rodney's wife, and she was ready to hang a jury because of information that she got and was prepared to. The knowledge is power, and knowledge will set people free, people you don't even know. Once again, there it was, evidence that jury nullification occurs on a regular basis if people are hip to the knowledge and they care enough. And they don't submit to the fear from the judge. The judge is always, this is the final, this is why I urge people to download, give out the flyer that we printed. Why am I so eager to get my flyer out there? It's not so I can get my face on the cover of the Rolling Stone. It's because my flyer is the only one that talked about the jury tampering judge. The judge is going to try to manipulate and control and steer and cajole and bully and beat up the jury and intimidate and threaten them, and I've seen it all. And it's disgusting. They're committing felonies every time they do that. They have no business telling the jury anything. The jury needs to look up a word, hand them a dictionary. Works great. And they can look up the definitions of words, and they can look up the definitions of the law as it's written in a book. You can put CPL, the criminal procedure law. The judge doesn't sit up there and say, now listen, if this happens and if they don't prove this and the state does that, then you must find guilty. If you know, but oh, then you could find not guilty maybe also. It's what's sending people to prison. The judges have no interest in doing justice whatsoever. They want to pack the prisons full of as many people as possible. They want to make money on the performance and payment bond, which every case is bonded. Look into it yourself, people. It's called a performance and payment bond. That's one of the first things you want to request when you go in and you're on trial. May I see the performance and payment bond numbers and the tax forms you use to file for all that? And, of course, they never do. That's going to throw them into a little bit of a spin. And, by the way, before we check out for the night, in case we have new listeners, I want to remind people that in 15 states, public officers are required to have an oath and a bond filed with the county clerk. That's the oath is what they raise their right hand and swear to uphold the Constitution under God, and most of them must be either lying, working for the devil, or crossing their fingers behind their back or something, because they're lying. None of them are upholding the Constitution. But anyway, they're required by law, and it's called the Public Officers Law. In New York, it's Section 11, Chapter 11, and also Chapter 30.1. Look into it yourself. And it, not only does it require that a public officer, and that's a cop, a trooper, a sheriff, police, local police, code enforcement officers, district attorneys, prosecuting attorneys, the judge, the witch themselves, all have to have a bond and an oath. The oath is what they swear to uphold the Constitution, the liars that they are, and a bond. What's the bond? An insurance policy against their corruption and misdeeds, and none of them have it. But most of the judges do at the higher levels. We recently found a judge at the lower town level who did not. It has expired in 2013, according to the county clerk. So we had them print out that piece of paper, and we stapled a copy of that to a motion for dismissal with prejudice, handwritten. Nothing fancy. We didn't go 20 pages, and we didn't even type it. Just said motion for dismissal with prejudice. Due to the fact that Judge James Ames is void of any oath and bond, it expired in 2013. Here's the proof. This is malicious prosecution. You have no jurisdiction. And he had to recuse himself from the case. So you get these substantial local victories, and if everybody gets some or a couple of that, you know, we can really put this tyranny. We buy local, fix local. And so anybody who's out there should be looking into their state. I know Nevada has one. It's Nevada Revised Statute, Section 282. I already told you what New York's was. There's 14 or 15 other states that have them as well. So look into it. Require any encounter you have with any public officer, may I please see a copy of your timely filed oath and bond. In New York, they have to do it within 30 days of the beginning of their term, or their position is vacant. The law says their position is vacant. Called creation of vacancy. That's the section that it is in New York. Oh, and I dug deep into some older statutes that looks like they have not been repealed. And it says failure to comply with the oath and bond is a misdemeanor punishable by fines or imprisonment. And not one New York State trooper is carrying a bond right now. I checked with the New York State Comptroller's Office attorney and the New York State Police attorney. The attorneys in Albany that represent the police, the troopers and the Comptroller's Office. And there's no bonds on any troopers. I actually had a New York attorney tell me and another guy that New York State troopers are not officers of the court. Oh, really? Then what are they doing sending people into court? So you could catch them in a lie. A lot of times you could catch them without a bond at the local level if they're a judge or a DA. And if it's expired or not filed, bring it up. And it's a reason that you could get the case dismissed or at least make them have to recuse themselves. And take it from there. So there's just some practical advice. Once again, download your jury nullification flyer at courtroomwatch.com. That's courtroomwatch.com. It's in a nice little PDF file. They've already blocked it twice to a 404 error. They did it when I was in the middle of my appearance on the Hagman Report with Hagman and Hagman. Right to a 404 error. We had just posted it. Just before I went on air, I looked. There it was. And boom, it was getting blocked as soon as I went out and got out there in the air. So guess what? We reposted it a third time. Should still be up there at courtroomwatch.com. Last I looked, which was today, I think it's still up there. So download that sucker. It's valuable. The system is scared to death. Look at the judge Navarro in the Nevada trials. She must be grinding her teeth down to stubs right now, freaking out, pulling out the last few hairs that she has, if she's human at all. And over these verdicts of basically a mistrial with 10 out of the 12 jurors sitting on the jury, we're going to vote not guilty. And only two people were holding the line saying, no, put them in the witch's prison. Oh, man, that's a huge loss for the government. The government stinks. Everybody knows it, old and young alike, black and white. Doesn't matter if on you're the left of the political spectrum or the right. Most people can't stand it. And except for the few useful idiots that are on the payroll of the intelligence agencies that work for the government and the police, well, those are about the only ones that they have who think that this thing's any good. So once again,
yeah, like Greg Burleson, who just got charged with 8 counts and found guilty on them.
It's his own darn fault. He dealt with the devil, and look what happened. And everybody else had a nice mistrial. And if the government wants to go through this whole thing all over again, oh boy, I'm going to turn my jury nullification activism into overdrive. And wait till you see. We're going to get everybody in this country has to know about jury nullification.
Right. Because we have to remember, no matter what, if you know jury nullification and the people are educated, it doesn't matter what laws they pass. It doesn't matter what kind of rights they try to violate. They can pull you into court. But we also have to remember, start asking for jury trials. 98.6% of the individuals locked up today, I'm not even kidding, 98.6% according to the federal numbers, is done by plea bargain. You need a jury trial. Your judges are the jury, not the judge sitting in that seat. That judge is supposed to be a mediator between the two.
Nothing
and that
more
is
than
all.
A referee. That's it.
Right.
The real judge is the jury. The judge is not the witch in the black robe sitting there intimidating people because they're going to make money on it and get promoted. No, the real judge is sitting in the jury box. Those are the 12 people, and they all can, and hopefully if people in your community are stupid, you're going to end up going to jail if you get sucked into the witch's court. And if the people in your community are educated about this jury nullification thing, it could be you, the listener, person right now hearing my voice, whose neck could be saved and be set free by even just one person on that jury. Like we had our caller tonight, Rodney. He said, because his wife was hip to the knowledge and had learned about the unlawful government agencies and jury nullification, she would have hung a jury. And that this is going to drive their plea bargains right down to zero because everybody's going to want a jury trial. They're running this absurd nightmare called bench trials. Oh, if it's less than a year in jail or less than 6 months in jail, then you only get a bench trial. You don't get a jury trial. Oh, thanks. Well, great. Thanks for making that decision for me, Mr. or Mrs. Witch. Appreciate that. Even though the Constitution
Which is not only unconstitutional, but it's also against their laws because it's the defendant who gets to choose that, not the judge.
So once again, people, if you get rammed through on these bench trials, object, 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 like our caller was saying tonight, you have to object because when it gets to the appeal, where you have a better chance, actually, than even most of these lower courts, when the appeals court sees that you objected, that's a legitimate, they'll look at that with more than they will at other issues. If you don't object, they're going to say, well, you consented by not objecting. And I know it's absurd. People get so intimidated and scared when they're in court, and I can understand why. But you object nicely, be polite, and be professional, but be firm. I object to that decision. I object to that ruling. I object to that ruling on the grounds of blah, 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 blah. So don't forget to object. Don't forget to ask the witch's court for the performance and payment bond proceeds, because they're making a whole bunch of money on every case that comes through their court. By the way, bring up the fact that it's a conflict of interest that their pension fund is heavily invested in the private prison industry. Lori, take us out. Thanks for everybody joining us tonight. I want to thank John Lamb for being with us. I want to thank Dave Pruitt and Gary Blackwell. Thank you, Lori Anderson. Lori, give the final words for tonight. If you don't have anything to say, we'll turn it over to Gary if he's still with us. People, thanks for staying with us, and Mike will be back tomorrow night, and hopefully we'll see you again in the future. Go to courtroomwatch.com and look for me on the Hagman Report, and we'll see you there, folks. Have a good night. Lori?
And I want to say good night. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this evening. Visit us at Courtroom Watch. Visit me on Google Plus or at freedomoutpost.com. God bless you as always. Watch your backs, check your facts. Semper Fidelis, and good night.
A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.